Blog Talk Radio.
We want to wish everyone listening in a very Merry Christmas. This is Blog Talk Radio, and we are Answers for the Paranormal for December the 25th, 2011. My name is Bill Posey. I'm the host for today's show, and on the line with me to celebrate today's Christmas Day, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is my co-host, Joe Marotti. Good morning, Joe, and Merry Christmas.
Good morning, Bill, and Merry Christmas to you and to everyone listening in. A time of rejoicing to remember the birth of Christ our Savior. Glorious day.
Yes, it really is. It's a great day to just get together with our families and to just celebrate what God's done by sending His Son into the world, and that's the reason that we celebrate today is that we remember what God did for us through the sending of His Son, Jesus, to be born of a woman. And Joe, you had some thoughts about Christmas that you wanted to share with everyone. So right here at the beginning of our show, why don't you take the time to do that?
Yeah, sure. It's just me, Bill, I think. It's probably not just me, but every year, it just seems like we go through the same thing with Christmas. I guess the only way to avoid the things I'm going to point out is just to stay home and keep the radio off, keep the TV off. But if you get at it all, you're going to see and you're going to be able to understand and identify with what I'm going to bring up here. First of all, it seems to me that Christmas starts earlier each year. Now, is that just me, or would that be an accurate statement? I mean, as far as the acknowledging of the world that Christmas is, we're going to start celebrating Christmas now. Now, what they're actually celebrating, I'll get to in a little bit. But I mean, do you see the same thing, Bill? Like each year, it seems to start earlier.
Yeah, I see the same thing. I was commenting to my family that when we went to the local Kmart here, it was shortly, I don't even think it was 2 or 3 days past Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and the Christmas decorations were up in the store already. So you're right. The whole lead-up to Christmas Day begins a lot earlier
right,
than
right.
I could ever
yeah,
remember. The
quote-unquote Christmas season.
Right.
You know, well, there's got to be a point where it can't start any earlier because, you know, then it would be kind of compl- completely ridiculous if, let's say, we're starting Christmas in, like, as the kids are going back to school, you start seeing stuff in the stores. And I think that would be, I think the merchandisers know there's a limit to how much, how far forward they can push it or how far back. I noticed going into Walmart on November, I mean, literally November 1st, I remember because I just marked the day down in my head as I as I walked into Walmart that day, and I heard Christmas music. It was November 1st, and continuous Christmas, not just interspersed with other songs, Christmas music.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time I'm in there, and as I'm checking out, and it's November 1st, I said to the cashier, I said, "Merry Christmas." And, you know, he gave me kind of a quizzical look, and I said, "Well, look, you guys are playing Christmas music, so it must be Christmas, right? So I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas." And then, like you said about Kmart, I think it was Home Depot or Lowe's I was in. I think, Bill, it was, no, I'm sure, it was before Halloween that the Christmas decorations were up in Home Depot, the Christmas trees and all the huge blow-up Christmas lawn ornaments. They were intermingled with Halloween costumes and Halloween decorations and all the stuff that you buy for Halloween. So it's kind of gotten to the point where Halloween and Christmas start together, where Halloween starts and then Christmas ensues right after that. So, and then you've got Christmas songs being played on the radio. Solid. Not all of them, but a number of stations play Christmas music starting November 1st, round the clock, 24 hours a day. And I have a bunch of cassette tapes that I still play mm-hmm. every Christmas. And I recorded them when my children were very, very young. The first one that I have, I think, was 1990, when my oldest daughter was mm-hmm. about to turn one. And in the tapes, you hear the station say, "We're bringing you the 36 hours of Christmas." So there was a time when they wouldn't start playing Christmas music until like 2 days before, and then all day Christmas, where you would have stations playing solid Christmas music. Now they're starting in November 1st. So it wasn't that long ago when you would have 36 hours of Christmas or 24 hours of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, well, what is Christmas all about? When you look out, what would you think? I mean, as you observe life going on during the Christmas season, what would someone think who wouldn't have any idea what people are celebrating? Well, if you look at the Hallmark Channel, and all December they play movies that have to do basically with human love. A man meets a woman, a woman meets a man, and you got two families thrown together. You know, basically what it is, it's from their perspective, it's all about humans loving one another and how it's kind of the central theme to Christmas is human love. And you have the merchandisers, again, starting way back in October.
Right.
And it doesn't start with Black Friday, Bill, anymore. It may have at one time. I don't really remember clearly, but it starts, and what, Black Friday is what, the Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, right?
Right.
So it's starting before that. And then you have just the overtly decadent end of what Christmas means to a lot of people. I listen to sports talk in the Philadelphia area. I mean, ad nauseum, I will hear commercials for, you know, adult places, strip joints where they're having their quote-unquote Christmas parties, and they're talking about lap dances and nude parties and drinking and eating. And it's just, it's something that's not even hidden. It's just overt decadence. But, you know, all of it brings me to something that I've always wondered about what people are celebrating at this time of year. And the question that I came back with, and I remember that I wrote a letter to the editor of the local newspaper. Oh, this has to be 15 years ago. Basically, asking the question, "What exactly are you celebrating?" And they didn't run it for whatever reason. They didn't run that letter that I wrote. My question is, why celebrate his birth? Now, if dying apart from faith in Jesus Christ means eternal separation from God, and we're talking about endless torment, eternal separation from God, the question has to be asked by people observing Christmas is, what do I really believe about Jesus Christ? Because if you don't believe what the Bible says about him, that he is God's Savior who was crucified on Calvary's cross and his blood shed to take away the sins of the world, and that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if you just know him by name, why are you remembering and celebrating his birth?
Yes.
It would be like citizens of a despot, a ruthless tyrant, dictator, mass murderer who oppressed and killed his people, who died, and every year the citizens remember, like Mussolini or Hitler or Idi Amin. It'd be like the citizens remembering his death. So,
yeah,
you know, Jesus Christ clearly is described in the New Testament as God's Savior, and that apart from faith in him, apart from trusting in what he did on Calvary's cross, that he took away your sins, and that he is the only way to God. If you don't believe that, then I don't understand why you're celebrating his birth. That would be my question. What do you really believe about Jesus Christ? You have to answer that question and then address what you celebrate at Christmas time. So those are just a few of my ramblings about this time of year that I basically see the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, I think you bring up some great points, Joe. And, you know, whenever you do bring up things like this to people, you know, you look at their faces sometimes when you bring up who Jesus is and what the reason is for the season. And people look at you like, well, I thought it was about, you know, Santa Claus and, you know, giving gifts to people and things like that. It's, as you say, it's lost its meaning. It's lost its purpose for the celebration. You know, if I celebrate my kid's birthday, there's a reason behind it because, you know, we brought him into the world, so we want to celebrate that, you know, the birth of a human child. But we're talking about the birth of something that is supernatural, that
That's right.
God was born of a woman, born of a virgin, and, you know, those are the kind of things that, you know, when you bring up to people, it's kind of lost that. One of the things we
Sure.
did last night is when we were together as a family, we were watching, you know, some old movies, and one of the movies on was It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm.
And you know, you just see in that picture, you know, just how much Christmas meant at one time in our culture. And it's completely lost that today,
yeah.
I'm convinced.
Yeah. I'll give you an example of the absurdity of what goes on around Christmas. The folks who have listened to any number of our shows will know that I do my end of the show from the Wawa parking lot around the corner from me. as I was pulling up this morning, you know how Wawa blast out music from their gas pumps?
Sure.
Well, I pull up and I park and I get out, And for 2 months, I've been listening to quote-unquote Christmas music.
Mm-hmm.
I get out on Christmas morning, and what do I hear? Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond.
That's amazing.
It's absurd. It's absurd. On Christmas morning, you're not playing Christmas music. You're back to regular music now. But for 2 months, you've pounded my head with Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. And Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Well,
crazy.
Joe, it kind of goes back to what you're talking about. You know, the advertisers and the producers of all the gifts and everything. They've made their money now, so it's time to move on.
That is so true. Yeah, and you know what? You just mentioned a good word that would fit what Christmas is, at least in this country. It is a production. It is a massive production by merchandisers. And all it is the exchanging of millions and millions and millions of dollars at this time of year.
Yeah. Yeah, sadly, Joe, that's what it has. It has departed to. But on our show today, we're gonna take some time and talk about the true meaning of Christmas. We're going to share some Christmas music with everyone, and we're also going to share some of our thoughts, some of the things that we've remembered about Christmas, and then we're going to share a short message from God's Word just about what Christmas is all about. So hope you continue to listen in, and you'll be blessed by what you hear today. And if you have a comment or you want to ask us a question about anything that we've talked about, the number for you to call in is 877-455-6692. That's 877-455-6692. And it's toll-free, so call in with your question or comment. Joe, I wanted to just talk a bit about gifts. And I asked you last night to think about what was the most extravagant gift you've received. So we're both going to talk about that. So why don't you go first, Joe? What extravagant gift have you received?
Yeah, well, we were just talking about spending a lot of money at Christmas time and how it's a sour theme to us. And now I'm going to indict myself now because it was back in, I think it was back in 04. When my wife and I were wondering what we were going to do for Christmas as far as gifts. And we thought it would be a great time to take a family vacation. And so we went to a travel agent and got some prices for Disney World. And we wound up setting up a time to, after Christmas, it was shortly after Christmas that we went to Disney World down in Florida, and that really took the kids by shock. That was the most extravagant gift that. Now, it wasn't a surprise, obviously, to me or my wife, but it was the most extravagant gift that I had ever received, and it was a really great time that we had in Florida, and it was. A lot of good memories came from that. So that was probably the most extreme gift that I'd ever received. How about you?
Yeah, go back to a time, probably early 80s. I kind of forget the year, but I'll say probably somewhere around 83. And my girlfriend at the time, had surprised me with a gift. We love to go skiing. And, you know, every time we went to the slopes, it was always stand in line, you know, waiting for the rental skis. And you probably lost about a good hour of time that you could be out on the slope. So she surprised me with an extravagant set of skis and boots and poles and You know, it was just it was something that I never had expected, and I know that ski equipment at that time was like really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it was just it kind of floored me because I didn't think that you know, that something like that would be something that I would receive. So it was pretty cool, and I remember how, you know, a lot of gifts you receive kind of get, you know, used up, especially with kids. You know, they use them up, and they end up in the heap, and you know, you wait until next Christmas to get the next set of gifts to play out. And but this was one that really went to great use. You know, we went quite a bit to the Poconos to ski, so that was that was a lot of fun, and it was something that, you know, you always remember those kind of gifts. You know, the tie with the reindeer on it kind of loses its appeal pretty quickly, but a gift such as that you remember.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we wanted to play one of the Christmas carols now for you, and this is Joe was commenting a little earlier that this is one that you don't hear very often at Christmas. So, Joe, you want to set this one up before I play?
Yeah, I think it was back in the 90s when, you know, every once in a while you receive some mail which states that you can receive 7 CDs free. And I think it was mostly back in the 90s that I received these, and I said, what the heck, I'll just send this, they gave you something to send back, and I sent it back, and I guess about 2-3 weeks later, I got these 7 CDs in the mail, and one of them was a Christmas CD, and on that Christmas CD was a song that I had never a Christmas song that I had never heard before, a Christmas carol called Of the Father's Love Begotten. And as soon as I played it, I thought to myself, why have I never heard this Christmas carol before on the radio? Now, we all hear Hark the Herald Angels and The First Noel and Silent Night, and they're great songs with some really, really good, solid theology. But this song has a beautiful melody, and the theology is airtight also. And even from that time forward, I think I may have heard it once, and it was an instrumental since then. So it's a song that gets lost in the shuffle of Christmas carols. For the life of me, I don't know why. So that's the history, my history behind that song.
Yeah, it really is a beautiful song, and we hope that as you listen to this, that as Joe said, the theology behind it is outstanding. So hopefully this blesses your heart and speaks to you this morning. Of the Father's Love Begotten. Thank you. of the Father's Love Begotten. You're listening to Answers for the Paranormal, and this is the Christmas show special for today.
Hello, Bill? Bill?
Hi, you're listening to Answers for the Paranormal. This is our Christmas special. We want to apologize for some technical difficulties that we seem to run into. So while we get our board straightened out here, let's listen to another song. This is What Child Is This?
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, who made us greet with anthem sweet while shepherds watch our keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds God and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come peasant king to own him, the King of Kings salvation bring. Let loving hearts enthrone him. This is Christ the King, who shepherds God and angels sing. Bring him, Him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary.
We are Answers for the Paranormal, and this is our Christmas show special for today. I'm going to go to God's Word here. This is Luke chapter 2, and the Word of God says this: In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And this was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register, and Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloth and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And then there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I titled a message that I would like to bring now, "A Gift Beyond Description." Joe and I took some time here, and we talked about some extravagant gifts that we had received. And it was a few years ago on Good Morning America when Joan London, who was the host at that time, had featured some extraordinary gifts that people might want to include on their Christmas gift list. And one of them was a Jaguar 220. And to purchase one of these, you first had to go to a Jaguar dealer, and you had to put down $80,000. And when that car got delivered, then you had to pay the balance of $507,000. The Jaguar 220 is a $587,000 automobile, and only 250 of them are made every year. And so then mentioned that if you purchase the Jaguar, you also might want to purchase some car wax that goes along with that car, and it retails for $3,400 for an 8-ounce can. So I guess if you can afford a $587,000 auto, you could also afford the $3,400 for car wax. Or how about these items that she mentioned? A $300,000 gold and silver toilet seat inlaid with precious stones. And, of course, there were some cheaper gifts. If you couldn't afford the Jaguar or the toilet seat, there was a $18,000 Frisbee, a $10,000 yo-yo. Or how about this, a mousetrap for your house, $12,000. Or even a $27,000 pair of sunglasses. And for you proud grandparents out there who are wondering what you need to buy for that new grandbaby of yours, how about a $28,000 pacifier? You know, we listen to this, and gifts like these, they stagger our imagination, but they're not really indescribable, are they? Even though we might want to find words to describe them and have difficulty, I can assure you the manufacturers are able to find the words to describe them, and they do that over and over again in the ads that we're bombarded with at this time of the year. You know, they seek to describe something that will appeal to us, that entices us to go out and to buy them. Because they tell us that
you simply cannot do without a $300,000 gold and silver toilet seat. But you see, every human gift is describable by someone. Well, the text I want to use this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, and it's a short verse. It only has 8 words, and the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And this is the time of the year that we're concerned about choosing just that right gift for somebody that we want to give to them. And, you know, let me ask you, have you ever received an indescribable gift? Have you ever received a gift that was beyond description? I thought about that for a while this week, and what kind of gift would it have to be called indescribable? Would it be a gift that you open up and look at and say, wow, this is a beautiful gift, but what is it? Or maybe it's a gift that carries a lot of emotional feeling and is given to you by someone special and was a complete surprise. And you'll treasure that gift always because it will hold memories for you. But does that make it indescribable? Or how about a gift that you cared so little about, like that tie, and you don't even bother to try and find words to describe that? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul first is writing about human gifts that we give to one another. And the church in Corinth was taking up offerings to give to the poor Christians in Jerusalem. And he commends them for their eagerness to help, and he reminds them a very important principle. He says, "Those who sow sparingly will also reap sparingly, but those who sow generously will also reap generously." And it is a great principle for us to remember. Then he goes on and he shifts his attention from human gifts that people give the church in Corinth to the church in Jerusalem to God's gift of sending his son to earth. And Paul can't even find the words to describe it. He just says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." At this time of the year, we do our best to depict the wonderfulness of God's gift of Jesus Christ to us. Musicians have composed probably some of the greatest music that our ears will ever hear, such as Handel's Messiah or Bach's Christmas Oratorio, and some of the beautiful hymns like Joy to the World and Silent Night, and some of the music that we've even played here today, like Of the Father's Love Begotten. Paul just says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Why does Paul call Jesus indescribable? Well, I thought of at least 4 things of why he would call Jesus an indescribable gift. First of all, I believe that Paul calls Jesus indescribable because of his nature. I mean, how do you describe Jesus? What words would you choose? How do you describe a baby born of a virgin? And how do you describe God in flesh walking upon the earth? Isaiah said he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. How do you describe that? How do you describe that which is a spirit when all we've ever known is either a physical or the material? How do you describe God who has all knowledge when what we have is only limited knowledge? How do you describe God who is all-powerful? How do you describe eternal? How do you describe the indescribable? Second, I think that Paul calls Jesus indescribable because of his purpose in coming to the earth. The angels announced to the shepherds there in Luke chapter 2, and we heard what he said. They said, "Born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior, Christ the Lord." So what do to celebrate Christmas? We celebrate the fact that Jesus came into this world to save us. God saw that mankind needed saving. He saw man's inhumanity to his fellow man. All you have to do is look at the news. Here in the Philadelphia area, we've been bombarded with 2 despicable acts of human sin. We have one man who was a famous football coach who went out and took children and another man who was a famous newspaper writer in the city of Philadelphia who did the same thing, abused children. How do you describe that? Well, the easy way to describe that is just to call it what it is. It's ugliness and hopelessness of sin. And those are the kind of things that God looked at in this world. And he knew that our greatest need is not for more wealth, and it's not for better schools, and it's not for better government. But our greatest need is to be saved from our sin. Our greatest need is to be saved from the very flames of hell itself. How do you describe that? How do you put into words what God accomplished when he sent his one and only Son into the world? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I think that Jesus, God's gift, is indescribable, not only because of his nature and not only because of his purpose in coming to the earth, but the third thing, because of the grace by which Jesus was given to us. You know, every gift that we give this Christmas is given because the recipient of that gift has a claim on our life. You know, you might not like that idea, but that's being as frank and as honest as I know how to be. If I buy a gift for my wife, it's because she's my wife and I love her and I want to please her and give her good things. And if I buy gifts for my children, it's because they're my children and I love them and I want to give them good gifts. And we buy gifts for family members because they're our family and we love them and we want to give them good gifts. Now, if I buy a gift for you and you're not my family member, it's probably because you got a gift for me last year and I didn't buy one for you. So it's like I owe you, right? And that cycle keeps going on. So I give you a gift this year. Now, next year, you're going to give me a gift because I gave you one. And if I give a gift to feed the hungry or to clothe people who need clothing, you know, I do it because deep down inside I recognize that there's a debt that we have to our fellow man, an obligation that we have to them. And that's what makes God's gift so special, because he doesn't owe us anything. Indeed, we're in constant rebellion against him and his will for our lives. We're all rebels. God says this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God gives us a gift not because he feels obligated to give a gift to us, but because his love is so overwhelming. It's a gift of grace. And when you stop and you look at the manger and you look at the Christ child and you realize that he's a gift of grace, there are no words that are available that can describe God's grace towards us in Jesus Christ. And last, what happens when I receive God's gift? Well, when you open up your gifts this Christmas, will your life be any different? When you receive the gifts that have been purchased for you by your loved ones, will this change your life and make you different? Or will you be the same as you've always been? Now, the Bible teaches us that when we accept Jesus Christ, God's indescribable gift will never be the same again because of how it affects our life. The first effect of Christ coming into our life is that our sins are forgiven. Now, that may be old and elementary, and you're probably thinking, well, you know, I've heard all that before. But don't dismiss it that quickly, because when your sins are forgiven, God forgets them and remembers them no more, and he separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Secondly, when we accept Jesus as God's gift, we become adopted into the family of God, and we're guaranteed citizenship in his heaven. Before, I was a foreigner and an alien, separated from God, separated because of my sin. But now, because I've accepted Christ, I'm an adopted son of Almighty God. Everything that belongs to Jesus
also belongs to me. Paul states in Ephesians that we are co-heirs with Christ. We're brothers and sisters in God's family because we have accepted God's indescribable gift. Thirdly, when I accept Jesus, I receive the gift of His Holy Spirit to live inside of me, and then He guides and counsels and protects and empowers me. And when I accept Jesus into my life, I'm also given His peace. And it's not the peace of the world, but the peace that surpasses all understanding. It's peace that allows me to cope with everyday situation. But beyond that, it's the peace that I now have with God. I've now been reconciled to Him through the cross of Christ. Also, when I accept Jesus into my life, I have a hope and a future. I have a place in heaven that is being prepared for me right now, a dwelling place that will last for all eternity. In fact, the Bible describes it as a mansion. And that's indescribable too. Because when the Apostle Paul was called up in his spirit to the heaven, to the third heaven, he said that he saw things that were unspeakable. Well, you know, I knew when I started this message out that I was going to fail in my attempt to describe Jesus, because someone else failed before me, and he was probably better than I was at describing it. The Apostle Paul looked at Jesus and said, I can't describe Him. All I can do is fall on my knees and thank God for His indescribable gift. And when God looked at our confused world nearly 2,000 years ago, He saw Roman soldiers marching in the streets. He saw people looking for peace and meaning and depth in life. And He wanted so urgently to communicate His love. The Bible tells us this, that God communicated His love in this way. He says that He loved us by sending His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. The message that doesn't come across much at Christmas is the reason that Jesus was born. There was a reason that there was a baby in the manger. And that reason was that God Himself would take on flesh. He would come to this earth. He would walk upon it. He would experience all the things that we've experienced as humans. Suffering. Mourning for a loved one who passes on. He would experience temptation from the enemy. He would experience scuffed knees and broken bones and all the things that you and I have experienced in this life, Christ experienced Himself. And so the Bible says that we don't have someone who goes before us as someone who has never experienced the things that we have. But we have a high priest who is familiar with all the things that we as humans suffer. And God said, you know, I'm going to communicate my love in this way. I'm going to send my Son into the world to save it. Paul states in Galatians that in the fullness of time, God sent His only Son. That, my friends, is indescribable. But the good news is that you don't have to be able to describe Him to accept Him into your life. And if you've never come to that place where you've seen the meaning of Christmas as being the beginning of a new life, if you've never seen Christmas as the reason for your reconciliation to God, if you've never come to the place in your life where you've seen your sin as something that separates you from the love of God, then I would ask you to consider what you've heard today. Consider God's indescribable gift and just cry out to Him, Father in heaven, I need Jesus. I need Him to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I need to be saved. And the Bible says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, because there is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. God's indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. Won't you reach out to him this Christmas? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time that we could come together to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent your Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Thank you, Lord, that you loved us with an everlasting love. Thank you that you've given the Holy Spirit to us as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, which is heaven. Thank you, Father, for all those who have tuned in and listened today and will listen in the future. Thank you, Lord, for your indescribable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. On behalf of Joe and myself and all those here at Answers for the Paranormal, we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And we want to just leave you today with some thoughts for 2012. Joe and I are going to take a break now, and we're going to be putting together some shows for next year. We want to finish up our ghost series and talk about the deceptions of who ghosts are and who's behind the deception. And then we want to talk about a topic called NDEs, near-death experiences. And we're going to talk about them and look at them in the light of God's Word. And so we hope that you have a great Christmas today with your family. We hope that God has spoken to your heart today through music and through his Word. And Joe and I pray that as 2012 bursts upon the scene here in a week or so, that you would be blessed, that you would come to the place in your life where you saw Jesus as not only God's indescribable gift, but as your Lord and Savior. Merry Christmas, everyone, and we'll see you in 2012. Good night.